This time Jason will share some scripture with all of us.
You're welcome to come on forward and have a seat on the steps if you wish. Wow, some of this is crossed out, so I guess I won't read that part. good morning. Today's second reading comes from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Last week, our words that we said were ignite our hearts with hope. This week, together we said we humbly seek the gift of peace. Our Advent liturgy this year has each of us speak those words out loud. They were written by Joel Rainey, but I wonder if his words are also your words. Today we will focus on peace. Let us pray. God of hope, peace, joy, and love, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. So we continue in this Advent season, the season of waiting and preparation. Nobody likes that part, I know, but that's what it is. It's the getting everything ready part. And we're at our second word, or our second candle, the candle of peace. Last week, we looked at hope. I sure hope that you looked for hope out in your world, right? That's fun to say. Yeah, that you looked for hope in the experiences that you had this week, that you looked for God's hope for this world. And this week, I hope that you will seek peace. A big thank you to Jason for sharing in Luke 1 text with our kiddos. You know, our Christmas story on Christmas Eve night, we take it from Luke chapter 2, usually. But I feel like in order to truly be ready for Christmas Eve night, for Luke chapter 2, before we can talk about the birth of Christ, I find it helpful for us to know the pre-story, the foretelling, as it's labeled in the Bible. It's also called the Annunciation, the big announcement. Yeah, and a big announcement it was, wasn't it? The angel Gabriel, the same angel that spoke to Zechariah, appeared to Mary, the angel that was sent by God. And his greeting might be familiar to some of us, right, to many. He says, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." What a beautiful hello. I just love that, right? It's not like, "Hello, I'm a messenger from God," right? It's like this enduring moment that the angel comes before a cherished person and says, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." I love that that's how it's recorded in our Holy Scriptures, a salutation full of love and affirmation. "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." 'Tis the season for greetings, isn't it, right? Cards, door greeters, fundraiser voices, everyone's greeting us this season, and they have something to say. Some of them shout it out, right? And others wonder every time they speak if the words they are saying are politically or socially correct. Among the happy holidays, the Merry Christmases, and the season's greetings, we are invited to hear the salutation from the angel of love and affirmation. In the words of our friends and neighbors and those door greeters, whatever comes out of their mouth, I pray that you will hear, "Hi, I care about you. I'm glad to see you." Forget about the words and grab the context, right? Now, Mary was given quite the message after she received a greeting, right? If any of you receive such a message like Mary did, please call me right away. I'd love to sit with you. Yeah, and dissect that a little bit, or just be. I can listen, right? It's unlikely that you will get a message from the angel Gabriel, much like Mary received, but if you did, let me know. Because the Bible says we will not know the time or the hour for which Christ shall come again. And boy, I'd really love to sit with you if that's something coming, right? But really, the message that follows the greeting that the angel gave was life-changing for Mary in the moment. It was life-changing for Joseph and his family in the coming months. And it was life-changing for all created beings. Because we all received the greatest announcement from Gabriel in that town of Nazareth that day. We heard, Mary heard, that God would do great things and that we shall not fear. God's messenger Gabriel called Mary and subsequently us to have a peaceful response, to receive the message with peace, and to live with actions of peace. Do not be afraid. Peace. Quite the concept, wouldn't you say? I don't know what it is for you, but I think of quiet. I think of stillness. It could be stopping. Or emptiness. Peace could be final rest. Peace has many definitions and descriptions, and based on your own experiences, you may hold tightly to one more so than the other. But what does it mean for us to be a people of peace? I would suggest that those who are at war would challenge each of us to become peacekeepers. That those in unrest over the political climate would call us to not sit still. That those fighting illness or disease would question if peace will be enough to get them through till their next treatments. Or if those that have heard their life expectancy in numbers might be looking onto eternal peace. Wherever you find yourself this season, what can you do to seek God's peace? That's an action word, seek. You have to do something. The reading from Malachi chapter 3 invites us to think about the refiner and the precision in which they melt the metal in order to create. Wrong temperature, bad product. Look away, might miss it. Being the refiner with the fire means that you must have concentration, passion, and purity in their work. Malachi's name means my messenger. And so in his book, he tells his own story of coming before the Lord to call people into right living. The book includes God's call to God's people to meet the expectations, the standards, the ethics of being faithful before God. As we seek Advent's holy light this month, we will do so, but will we do it with such passion and precision as the metal melter? Will you choose to humbly seek? Will you allow your heart to be ignited with hope? Does that all sound like a whole bunch of words and some chit-chat? Great idea, lofty concepts. Oh, that was nice, right? Oh, yeah, I could think about that. No, that's a really, really deep question, actually, right? It's asking us if we have the time and the patience to add one more thing to our list of December to-dos. That's where you laugh, right? Because most of you have a to-do list this month, even if you're not someone who normally does that, right? When our lists are already looking so full, can we find the energy to do one more thing in such a deep and introspective assignment? I can't answer that for you, and I won't even try. Instead, I will focus my heart this week on chapter 1 of Luke. This week, I'm going to think about Mary and that big announcement. I'm going to consider the news that each of you may have heard in the last week or this Advent season that will have a profound effect on your life. That's where I'll let my heart go. And I will make time for listening and try to only speak when necessary. And if you know me, you know that's very difficult. But I'm going to do that because this week I want to seek Advent's holy light and peace. I will wonder maybe along with you, if my faith might ever be as strong or as naive as Mary's was when she said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Oh, she had no idea what was coming, did she? But I will attempt to delight in the Lord's coming as I purify, simplify, and refine my faith this month, as well as my to-do list and my expectations of myself. Because those things I can do. What can you do? Better question, what will you do? What will you do to prepare? Will you change the light bulbs so that the light can shine in a new way? Will you stare at Christmas lights? Or drive around and look at the beautiful displays and think about the Advent light and the light of Christ? Will you choose to believe, like Elizabeth and Mary did, that nothing is impossible with God? Even if you haven't gotten everything you've hoped for or put on your Santa list, will you still choose to believe? Will you take time to help another, to be the light of Christ for someone who is struggling, searching, or suffering? You know, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Will you let God's peace guard your heart and your mind? I'm going to leave you with this. It is okay if you choose to do nothing after this sermon today. If you are not stirred into action, that's okay. Perhaps you'll find peace there too. And if so, tell me about it, right? But my hope for you is that you will. My prayer for you is that you will look for Advent's holy light, that you will humbly seek the gift of peace. However you can do that. And that as you seek this Advent season, that Advent's holy light might shine hope within you and around you, and that it may ignite your search for peace this day and always. With God's help, may it be so. Amen.